I'm Jim Meadows for Illinois Public Media News. By the end of March, Illinois will have gone a full 9 months without a budget, and yet the state's top politicians still aren't talking. The governor and the four legislative leaders went all of June through November without meeting before finally getting together a couple of times at the end of last year. They didn't keep it up. They haven't met once so far in 2016. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky reports.
What got Illinois to this point and how to get out of it is a long and complicated, and at times sordid, tale. But with public universities laying off professors, social service agencies shutting down, the state's credit rating dropping, and the budget deficit building, you may think Illinois' governor and top lawmakers would be ready to put an end to it. Maybe so, but they're not putting their heads together to figure out how. Governor Bruce Rauner's seemingly given up trying.
I've heard some questions, should I be calling four-leader meetings to try to push things along? Four-leader meetings in the past have never really worked, and when I called them last summer and in the fall, there was strong resistance from the other side of the aisle to having them. I think there's a reluctance for whatever reason. And the reality is, I don't think the speaker will be, his style is not to be compromising in a group. I don't see, that's not how he works. So I don't think, my own view is further four-leader meetings probably will not be productive.
It's a far cry from when he first came into office. Rauner, a Republican, has had big success in the business world and talked up his negotiation skills, his ability to build relationships. It's not a stretch to say that Rauner's relationship with Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan is the most strained. Let's just say that when it comes to Madigan, the governor doesn't abide by the saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Word is that hasn't made Madigan eager to have a heart-to-heart with the governor. But Rauner admits Madigan's support will be needed to get the ball rolling on any sort of deal, which is why the governor says rather than meeting with all four legislative leaders in one room, he's aiming for a one-on-one with Madigan. Twice this week, Rauner told reporters that. In Chicago on Monday.
I'm hoping that the speaker and I can meet in private soon.
And the next day in Springfield.
With the dynamic among the four leaders, I don't see compromises coming within the group. I see whatever compromises coming probably in one-on-one sessions. That's the reason I've been advocating for a private session with the speaker.
Whether it's a formal invitation or how that went, he didn't say. So I did my own reaching out to Madigan by calling his spokesman, Steve Brown. Why don't we get started there? And the governor says he's reached out to the speaker and hasn't heard back. Primary is over. Time to get trying again.
Yeah. I heard that yesterday. I really don't have a way, I don't have any information on that claim, so I don't really have any comment one way or another on it. So.
That's a real-time awkward pause. Okay, then. The speaker's spokesman, one of his right-hand men, doesn't know whether the governor has called Madigan's office to ask for a meeting, or maybe he's just made the offer through the press. Regardless, I wanted to know, would Madigan be interested in one? Is it maybe time? Would it be prudent for the speaker and governor to get together and talk about a path forward?
I have no thoughts on that.
At that point, I tried again asking about the governor's supposed invitation for a chat. Madigan and the other legislative leaders say their calendars and appointment lists are not subject to the state's Freedom of Information law, so it's hard to know who they get calls from or meet with and when. Would you be able to check with the speaker's scheduler or secretary? I would assume you would have an easier time than me finding out what's on the date book or what the call log of or mass.
Yeah, I don't think I'll have an opportunity to get information about that claim. So that's really all I had to say about that. So you had another topic you wanted to go through?
I did. Brown did first offer to stay on this topic. He said he didn't want to ignore my First Amendment rights. But
you want to keep asking questions, I'll keep giving you the same answer. So you pick.
I chose to move on, but not before asking that he make some inquiries and get back in touch when he did have answers about any pending discussions or meetings. I repeated that request before we hung up. Duly noted, Brown said.
Not anticipating that'll change much, but I note your interest.
There is the thought that a sit-down between the two would be a waste of time. Rauner and his allies just spent a record $10 million on a pair of high-stakes legislative races. Both of his candidates lost. Madigan issued a statement saying voters had sent a clear message. rejecting Rauner's union-weakening pro-business agenda. It was like he was sending Rauner a message, move on and we can talk compromise. But Rauner Tuesday said he viewed things differently. The governor says it's a mistake to read into any one election. Each has its own unique characteristics.
My own view is taxpayers lost a couple high-profile races. That's not totally shocking. I mean, taxpayers have been losing races in Illinois for a long time. Changing that doesn't happen overnight. Taxpayers won a number of lower profile races, but important races around the ticket, and that's good news. And some races that they, you know, might not have won in the past.
Rauner bristles at those who say the election results show his turnaround efforts aren't supported. The governor says people do support term limits, redistricting, prevailing wage limits, a more business-friendly workers' compensation system, even right to work. He says those efforts have all stalled because of the man he evidently can't get a meeting with, Michael Madigan. I'm Amanda Vinicky.